cliffcentral.com.
Well, it is just after 7 o'clock on cliffcentral.com. We've got a lot of great shows. Some of them you might have heard in the promos there, which you can listen to, you can download. Some of them which are still incoming and on the way. We're busy putting together a few new series, which we will surprise you with from the month of March on, which is obviously this month. It's the first today, a brand new month. I always feel sorry for those people. Now, I feel sorry for those people who have a birthday on the leap year, because it would have been their birthday today, but of course it only happens every 4 years. There's no leap year this year, so they usually celebrate on the 28th, right? The shortest month is over.
Sad.
Yeah, same.
I actually know someone who had their birthday on the leap year, and I sent him a message yesterday and said happy birthday. And I mean tomorrow, but you know what I mean. He's like, no. But they always claim to be 4 years, every four years, you know, 3 years younger than the rest of us. So over time, that could make them six and the rest of us very, right, very old by comparison, you know. Anyway, something to think about this morning.
I get what you mean. I think the calculations were off, but I get it.
All right. So let's say, for example, you are 40 years old. You divide that by four, you're only 10. So if you turned 40, were a leap year baby, you could say you were 10, and people couldn't really argue with you on the basis that you only have a birthday every 4 years. That's the kind of calculation. You see, Sia, not so bad when I have my calculator in front of me.
Oh.
Because you have to work out 40 divided by 10.
Isn't it amazing? Yeah, I know. Well, no, look, I mean, really, I'm that useless at maths. But if you think which other devices do we not even have around us anymore? I haven't seen a calculator in ages. In fact, I don't even have one in this desk. I haven't had one for years.
It's now a trend to wear digital watches. So,
oh, come on.
Like the Casio.
Yeah, I've seen those. I've seen a lot of them.
Mm.
But mostly, I mean, I don't wear a watch usually, and I don't see the point because you've got everything on here. So if I look at just the apps on my home screen, I don't need a recording device. You know, some people used to carry a dictaphone or something like that around so that they could record, like, meetings or whatever. So you don't need that anymore because you can record on your phone. You don't need a watch.
You don't need a barometer or a thermometer for the temperature.
You've got a weather app
outside.
You don't need a watch because you've got a clock. You don't need a camera because you've got a camera phone.
A wind sock.
Did you carry a wind sock, Leanne? I knew you were a bit odd, but that's really bizarre. No wind sock necessary. You don't need a diary. I mean, you think about people used to carry around a paper diary.
You know, Filofax.
These days you've
Teledex.
Got. Yeah, these days you've got reminders for birthdays. You know what your schedule is for the day because you've got a calendar. You've got reminders on there which go off with alarms, so you don't need that anymore. Some people use payment apps and wallets, so they don't even need to have their actual bank cards or wallets on them to draw money or to pay for something. I'm trying to think what else there is. Your phone book. Remember how you used to actually remember your phone number? Back in the old days?
A little black book.
And you would remember your...
Yeah, that's...
When I was at school, I used to have to remember my parents' phone number. I used to have to remember the number for my best friends. I would remember, I would actually know their numbers by heart. Who still does that?
No one.
Nobody, right?
Oh, my gosh.
So, what else is there? Directions. People used to carry map books around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, your generation went through a lot, Shame.
Well, a heck of a lot. If I gave you and your generation a map book, they wouldn't know what the fuck to do with it, right?
Mm-mm. No, really. I think I was living in Johannesburg for a good almost a year or a little over a year before I started remembering street names.
Yeah.
Because just driving around, you'd punch in the address and you'd follow the route. You didn't have to know where the M1 was and the N1 and what William Nicol was and Sloane Avenue. You were just following.
When you put on your direction app and it says go east, do you know what that means?
No, and I don't care because it will eventually tell me where that is.
So you don't
what know. Do I have to look at the sun and go, where
no.
did the sun rise today?
That's sad that you don't know. I mean, I've always had such a good sense of where north, east, south, and west are.
Well, you're upset. You're upset that that is a useless skill now. You're upset.
Yes.
You're upset that Sia doesn't need that in his life, and you had to learn it.
Yeah, this is.
I have to make a concerted effort to remember the sun rises where and lands where. That's how like off it I am.
So what
it
are
does
the
rise in the east and sits in the west? Right.
I mean, what other apps and things have replaced devices? Because I think we've covered a lot of them, but another one that's, you know, the calculator being the one that started all of this, and now you don't
well,
have
get,
to have a
you
separate
get
calculator.
Period trackers and ovulator trackers. You get, you know, how many weeks pregnant you are and what it means at that stage.
Right.
Babies development apps, so that cancels out a whole lot of books.
Cameras are on our phone.
And all of these things we've discussed doesn't even begin to cover how much of our news or our connection with family and friends, which used to be via the telephone or actually seeing them in person. Those things are obviously a whole different world now as well.
Mm-hmm.
Your health.
We had to phone the lady in the box to check what the actual time was to set all of our clocks.
What?
You don't know about that?
I thought you were joking.
No.
Who would you have to call?
You used to call 1023. Let me see if I can do this quickly. Hang on. I'll do it right now and you can hear it. And it just tells, it's just someone who, there's a recording of someone who tells the time. It's 1026. Yeah, 1026. Listen to this, Sia. You've never heard this before? This is amazing.
Wait, what?
Your balance.
Oh, no, that's no good. That says my balance is. It's gone. I think it's gone, Leanne. I don't think anyone needs
it. Sia, please tell me that you're joking, that you don't know what we're talking about.
Wait, just run it past me again. Maybe
You would dial this
minority
number. I think the number was 1026. You dial it, and if you needed to set
your landline.
Yeah, and if you needed to set your watch, for example, you'd dial it on your landline. And when we started having cell phones, you could dial it as well. And it would go, when you hear the signal, it will be 7, 11, and 10 seconds. Beep.
Vanya Yedi saying you it. Yeah. Dunsal it. Yeah, exactly like that. So you would have four house clocks in front of
you.
You
didn't know about this?
Like,
I have never heard of that.
God, we
you'd have four. You'd gather all the clocks and watches and alarm clocks from around the house. And then you would listen to the first one and do it by the second. We even met the woman who used to do it because we all had it in our minds that this poor woman was sitting in the box for 24/7. And then off of the right one, you would then set all the other clocks.
Correct.
That is so sad.
Steph says their daughter uses Alexa to help with her maths. So she'll go, Alexa, what is 7 plus 7? Andre says, for me, it's more practical to wear a sports watch rather than carry a massive smartphone, which I keep in the car. Okay, that makes sense.
Okay.
And these days, you know, some of the watches even have like a SIM function, so you can do everything on the watch that you would do on the phone. Steph says, an old map book under the car seat's an essential. Carl says, you don't need a vibrator if you're a girl. You just test each ringtone for long enough. It'll do the trick.
Wow, Carl. Okay.
Yeah, I, you know, it is amazing. Like, you need this one piece of equipment now. And before, you used to carry all of this other crap. I wonder if there'll be a time where, you know, you can leave the house and everything's on a chip in your brain and you just use it that way. You don't even need to have anything in your hands.
Of course it's going to happen. Mm. We're getting close with Google Glasses and things like that.
That's fantastic. Scary.
Does it scare you or is it something you like? I think it's cool.
Yeah, I wish I'm gone by that time. I don't want to tap my wrist twice, and then next thing there'll be some beam shooting out of my index finger, and
fantastic.
I can be able to look at the map of Russia from that hologram. Too much. I want to be gone then.
Well, don't worry, Sia. There's always going to be a place where you can find Prince Harry and Meghan Markle videos. That's all that you need to know. You're very excited.
Oh, my God. Watching that from my finger. Now, that's something.
All right. Well, we're live this morning for the first time on YouTube, and you can watch that if you prefer. We're going to be trying this out. I know it's taken a long time for us to get here, but we have we finally got onto YouTube, and we are live this morning and every other morning from now on, from 6 in the morning until 8. You can also follow us on cliffcentral.com. The podcasts are wherever you usually get your podcasts, and you can also follow us on Webinar Jam through the links on cliffcentral.com. But slowly we'll be migrating everything to YouTube too. So it's going to be a live show on YouTube every morning. Tell us what you think. Give us some suggestions. If there's stuff that you feel that we could do better, give us an idea. Sila says, Neuralink is where we're going. Neuralink, one of the companies that Elon Musk owns. And that's about right. That's where we'll eventually see the interface of human brains and technology. Can't wait. I can't wait for that. Upload language programs. You'll never need to be stuck. You'll be just this absolutely incredible human being who can just do anything and say anything and think of anything and remember anything. And it won't matter anymore how much you did or didn't know beforehand. Not a bad idea. Mm. I don't mind.
And whether or not you knew the time right now.
Correct. Correct. You wouldn't need to call the Vaneri de Seinwer woman.
No.
all right. Lots of things to get into this morning. We've got to probably mention the Golden Globes, don't we? I mean, it's awards season in Hollywood, so that's going on. And apparently last night was the Golden Globes. Sia, do you know anything about it?
Well, they're still currently live and underway. They started around 5:30 or 5 a.m. our time. It's all a mix of virtual. Some people are in physical venues together, but Amy Poehler and Tina Fey are back hosting. They hosted about a good 5 years ago, and they were always quite a hoot. And Tina Fey is in New York, and Amy Poehler is in L.A., and they're doing the virtual hosting together. But then you have people like just dressed up in their homes. These are the people who are nominated.
They made it look like Tina Fey and Amy Poehler were in the same place, right?
It is quite impressive, but also they joke about it quite a lot in their opening monologue.
Well, I'm not gonna play the whole thing, but just listen to this, and you can obviously watch it whenever you want to late at the day. It's going to be online, but this is kind of how it sounds, and it looks impressive because it does look like they're on the same stage.
I'm Tina Fey coming to you from the beautiful Rainbow Room in New York City, where indoor dining and outdoor muggings are back!
Yes! I am Amy Poehler here at the Beverly Hilton District 7 New Angeles, and this is the 78th annual Hunger Games.
I love those two. They are pretty funny. I mean, let's give credit where it's due. We need something like that to make us feel better. And frankly, you know, I don't care about the awards. I don't care about the Hollywood stars. I'm not interested in any of that. But I love the comedy. I do hope they have a go at some of the celebs as well, because it's been such a year of like celebrities trying to look like good people when they're really just like the rest of us, not necessarily better or worse. So I've always loved when Ricky Gervais did these things, and he used to do what, the Screen Actors Guild,
SAG Awards.
The SAG Awards, right?
He's done the Golden Globes as well.
Which one was it? It was the Golden Globes where he... Because that is the not the Screen Actors. It's the Hollywood Foreign Press Association, the Golden Globes. Mm-hmm. That's the one that Ricky Gervais did where he tore into everybody, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the bravest. That's one of the bravest things I've seen on TV. Just magnificent. You can't fault the guy.
But these Golden Globes made me realize I have not been watching anything new recently.
No. So do you know anything about the shows that won? Is there anything that we would recognize there? Because I suppose under lockdown, people have been watching more TV than usual, right?
Yeah, so by the time the show started, the big winner was Schitt's Creek, which is no-brainer.
That's a great show.
It's had all of this fanfare thus far. But then there are tons of these, you know, indie movies and indie shows that I didn't watch. I think some people did watch, you know, The Queen's Gambit and The Crown. You know, a lot of people watched that one. Mm-hmm. Chadwick Boseman won an award and his wife received it in his honor.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's Borat also won a top movie honor. Other than that, there's nothing really wow to me.
There's Ozark, which I used to watch Ozark, which is on there.
Mm-hmm.
Emily in Paris I watched.
Right.
But what are these? Which Normal People, Small Acts, The Undoing. I don't know what that is.
Have you watched Schitt's Creek? Because I watched the first maybe two or three seasons. I loved it. I thought it was so good. What is the name of the dad who actually is the writer of the show along with his son, who plays his son in the show too?
Dan Levy is the writer.
Okay, Daniel.
And then real life father is Eugene.
Okay, so
life daughter is also in there, but she's right. Not the main character. She's actually the cafe owner.
That's right. Now that is some talented family, man. You know, I thought about them and they. Eugene Levy was well known. He was the dad in American Pie, wasn't he?
Uh-huh. Yeah, he was the one who caught one of the characters with his
in a pie,
in the kitchen.
Right. Correct. So Eugene Levy's well known. He's got these big bushy eyebrows, and he's a terrific actor, but he's also partly, I think, producer and writer for this show. Daniel Levy's his son, who is like the main character, I would say, of the TV series.
The two of them wrote it together, actually.
So good. It's just David. Really clever. David. And then there's the sister and there's the mom. But the mom is like everybody's favorite character. And she actually won the Golden Globe last night for Best Actress in a TV Series. So here she is, Catherine O'Hara. Now, interesting thing about her. She played the mom of Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone.
Ah.
So if you think you've seen her before, that's probably where you would have seen her. Oh. And she was in Beetlejuice.
Yeah, she's been in
a lot of stuff.
Yeah, so she's a really well-known actress, and she's been around for years. She's a Canadian, and she won for playing Moira. Yeah, well, here we are.
And the Golden Globe goes to Catherine O'Hara.
All right. Oh, see, these are the technical issues they're having. So it's not just us when we have problems with podcasting. Clearly, even the Golden Globes have their technical issues. She starts talking and the music's still going. Let's see if we can hear anything she says.
Just to share your goodwill for my lovely fellow nominees. And this is great. Thank you so much. I am happily and seriously indebted to Eugene and Daniel Levy. From day one, they treated me like something like this might happen. They created an inspiring, funny, beautiful thing.
All right, blah, blah, blah. You can listen to it if you're really into it. But there we go. They have their technical issues, too. I don't know if this is a great way to do the Golden Globes. Frankly, I was bored with them before. This would be even harder for me to watch. And I don't think I'm the only one.
Mm. We should have it outside. Yeah. Try that.
Yeah.
Have everyone.
Good show.
Some big sports field.
Good show, that Schitt's Creek. I just love the name.
Oh, brilliant.
Mm. You see, I don't feel guilty anymore about not watching something I'm on the onset not interested in. I don't like to take suggestions from other people anymore. I won't force myself to watch something just because other people watch it. But Schitt's Creek is one of those things that I try to watch. I couldn't even make it through the first episode. I don't know. It's just a little too corny for me. A lot of people right now are talking about this four-part Netflix documentary, and I love me a good murder, some blood, some gore, sign me up. But it's something along the lines of The Vanishing at Hotel Cecil or the Cecil Hotel.
Yes, yes. I've got that on my list.
I couldn't even make it through the first 5 minutes with that. So maybe I'm just getting old and grumpy and set in my ways.
Uh-oh.
I just go back.
You'd be in good company if you are, because I said this before on the show, I feel like Leanne and I have poisoned you against so much already. But I think a lot of it comes from you anyway.
Well, pass the soup and I'll leave my dentures out later. Join the club.
Yeah, a lot of people are suggesting that the show Undoing with Nicole Kidman and Hugh Grant. Apparently, it's absolutely brilliant. Well, it was so good over the weekend to watch Casino. I also did see this other brilliant movie called The Outpost. It's actually a true story about the Battle of Kamdesh in Afghanistan. I think it was 2009. They basically, the story goes around, and it's based on a true story, of these Americans who were sent to guard this indefensible outpost in the Hindu Kush Mountains of Afghanistan. And they were the most decorated unit in the American military during the Afghanistan and Iraq wars, because there was so much heroism in this absolutely terrible, stupid place to put a base. It was one of those forward operating posts. And I don't know how, but the idiots who decided to build this place built it right at the bottom of a valley, completely surrounded by mountains. And, you know, all you have to do if you want to kill people at the bottom of a valley surrounded by mountains is just keep throwing hand grenades from the top of the mountains into the valley. They can never get you. You can always get them. And how these people survived is just extraordinary. The whole story is just unbelievable. And it was a great, great movie. So that was my weekend. Basically, The Outpost and Casino with Robert De Niro, Sharon Stone, and Joe Pesci. So I had a very nice Saturday evening, nice and lazy. All right, we got lots of things to get to today, and not all of them are around movies and TV shows. Apparently, we've got this is nice. Leanne has 7 emails you should send every week to get ahead in your career. So we try to give good advice. I usually hate these things. Please tell me it's not some soppy thing of like sending your boss a mail to let them know that they're great or any of that shit, because otherwise you can't leave it alone. What are these emails?
Yeah, you're probably going to hate it, but there's something that I took out of it.
Okay.
The very first one is sending someone a thank you email, just to say thank you for what you do, you know, and thanks for the support during whatever project.
Okay.
Or I'm so glad that we get to work together. Gareth, you do that. You don't do a special email, but every now and then you'll say, you know, thanks, you're really appreciated.
Mm. Don't go telling people how nice I am. I hate this. Now I have to defend my reputation for being bastard.
And another example of that is, you know, thanks to somebody that you admire, especially if you're in a corporation or perhaps it's someone in your industry, perhaps an esteemed author or something like that. And you might say, thank you for this. It helped me do that. Thank you.
Yeah, I still consistently email Oprah at Oprah.com.
You still haven't got a reply, have you?
No,
still not. It's also like a good idea to email someone lifting them up if you know
just hold
that
on.
They've been through
it. I'm just trying to
email Gail as well.
I'm trying to imagine like there's a red list of possibly dangerous psycho people, and Oprah's put Sia at the top of that. So she does know you exist. She's doing her best to ignore you at the moment. She's like, oh God, has that asshole from South Africa sent another email? That's just so disturbing. Please keep an eye on him. If he ever gets on a plane to the United States, warn me. We go to level orange. We're going to go to level orange, Gail. I can imagine it now.
Hey,
they've just got a filter set up. Definitely. Anything from Sia goes
to junk mail.
So you said we must also email people who lift them up. So people like Gail.
No, so somebody that you admire in the business world. You know, or someone who follows you, who admires you. So perhaps a fan has messaged you and said, so this message would be to Oprah to say, lift someone up. So she should email you, Sia, and saying, thank you for your continued support.
Yes.
That would
also
be nice.
In business, a good business tool is to email someone that you've just met. So you may have met them at a conference or online or whatever, and just to say, hey, thank you for meeting. I hope we can, you know, chat soon or et cetera.
Yeah, I usually do
see
that.
See if they're up for a chat.
I do that just to remind myself. So I'll get home after a meeting, or I'll do it the day after maybe, but never much more than that. And then I'll include everybody on the email And then it just stays in my sent items as a reminder of the people I met at that meeting. I'll say, thanks very much for the meeting. Here are those follow-ups that I promised, and I'll answer a few questions if there were any, or put some other information together. And then it's in their court. You know, it's a way of me kind of, okay, I've done my responsibility. Now it's over to you. Then if, then if I don't hear from them after that, it's their fault, not mine.
Yeah, exactly. Another idea is to email an old coworker. I know with us, Gareth, we have a WhatsApp group with people we used to work with. Just to, you know, see what they're doing and what they're up to.
Yeah.
It's quite fun.
Yep.
And the last one is a Thursday afternoon. Oh, sorry, second last. A Thursday afternoon email to your boss. Just to say, here's where we stand regarding X, Y, and Z, and this is what we need done by tomorrow. Just to show them that you've got your priorities right, and you know, they don't have to say to you, what do we have next on the agenda?
Leave me alone. Don't bother me with an email for, just to give me an update on how you're doing. Please.
Hey, Gareth, I just had a very successful 45-minute meditation this morning, so I'm very spiritually aligned to the vision of the company.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
Here are the
three
things that I have achieved today.
Yeah, I don't need that.
You know what? In the job that I'm in at the moment, it's actually that email is crucial, because otherwise on Monday morning I get one saying, where are we with this? Update me with that.
Right.
So if I can preempt it, I take away that stress on a Monday morning.
That makes sense.
And the last one is a Friday afternoon email to yourself. So, you know, a note to self, just suggesting maybe just jotting down some of the wins that you've had this week, some of the things that you've learned that you want to remember, any ideas that you've got.
Do you still keep your
week?
You keep your journal, Sia? Because that's almost like a journal entry.
I don't like write a dear diary every single night, but now I've just started writing because I did that, and now I have these volumes of journals that I have no idea what to do with. So now I just write about significant things if there's a major milestone that happened, but not every single day anymore. I actually went through them about 2-3 weeks ago, and I thought, this was pitiful. So pitiful. I remember, like, and then I feel
I'm just picturing you. Hang on. I'm picturing Sia writing down in his little journal. And yesterday I woke up, and there was a terrible stink in the air from all the hydrogen sulfide coming out of Secunda. It was awful. It made me feel ill. That's
honestly
my entry for today.
Let me just try and find it. They're right here, actually. 2 seconds.
He's going to dig them up. This is good.
Oh, gosh.
What would you even write?
But that's also another thing. It's another thing that's kind of been replaced. I mean, if we want to keep a diary, we don't generally write things on paper.
Well, I mean, you would usually you'd send someone you care about it little WhatsApp or something, you know, maybe even a voice note. That almost takes the place of those emails you were talking about as well. Are those all your journals? My God,
Jesus.
That is a lot of paperwork, Sia. And those are all full? And put on his headphones.
Are they all full or all full?
Or awful and awful.
So you've filled those up. Every one of those is what, like handwritten pages, and they're all chock full of your stuff.
Just everything. Just random things. So this I kept from 2016.
All right. What did you...
On the 22nd of March, 2016,
all right.
I've been neglecting some of my friends and my family, but I'm grateful for the love from them. I'm also grateful for, I could gag, I'm grateful for a calm breeze and a clean house. What the heck was that?
You are really Oprah's child. You are Oprah Winfrey's child. There's no one else who would ever write that stuff. You wrote that in 2016?
Yes. Oh, God.
You were grateful for a clean house and a calm breeze?
A calm breeze. I don't know. I guess that is the thing to say.
That's unbelievable. This is like textbook I've got to give these to a psychologist and have them figure you out. That's unreal.
2nd of May 2016, I got the opportunity to see Mariah Carey live in concert today. Wow.
Where was that?
Which was performing in South Africa.
Oh, wow. Jesus, she was here. Jesus. I forgot about that. And what did you say about it? Did you say you loved her?
That was just the entry, the wow part of it.
Oh, man, that's unbelievable. You've got, so basically you have a record of every day of your life up to a certain point. That's fairly impressive. I mean, it sounds embarrassing and stupid now.
I hear something about you, Garrett. This is nice.
Oh, no.
26th of April, 2016. On the car ride to and from the CEO Sleepout launch today with Reen and Gareth, I got to get unprecedented advice from them both. Who uses the word unprecedented when writing?
Only when there's a virus.
Oh, that's great.
I'm grateful for growing more and more stronger in myself, in networking opportunities, and I'm grateful for clarity on things that bother me.
All right, you better stop.
That is so weird.
You better stop reading those diaries.
My entries were things like, I can't stand this bitch, hope she dies. I hate my brother. I never want to see this person again. I'm so depressed. Stuff the world.
I hope she dies.
People suck.
That's great.
All of these need to be burned.
Well, both of you better stop with these diary entries, because even reading them out now is adding to the sulfur and the hydrogen sulfide. What it's like. It's just disgusting. You want to make the air pollution worse? Just keep reading Sia's diaries.
Oh, jeez. You know, the same way people find a message in the bottle 100 years from now and they go, what was happening with you guys? So, terrible. I don't know, I'll donate that somewhere and people will...
Well, if you're like Sia and you keep a diary, that's a discipline I've never managed to get. I always start off on a project like that and I'm all excited and gung-ho and I'll start writing things down, but I'll probably do it in bullet points. I wouldn't write actual sentences like Sia did. You know, like things I've done today. And it would be a list of 10 things that I got done today. But then eventually it would just give way to a to-do list, which I would cross off, and then eventually I wouldn't even be using the journal anymore. I'd be putting it on my phone on notes. And it would have 3 beautiful pages at the front of this book, and then it would be empty from there on. So it's not something I can do. I just know, I know myself well enough to know that's not an area of strength. There's no way I can keep up with that stuff. Linda says she also does that. It's amazing to go back and read what you were doing years ago. Yeah. You know, you do forget stuff. I mean, if you consider what we were doing this time last year, because we only went into lockdown properly towards the end of March, and most of us, including me, I don't think we're taking it hugely seriously at this point last year. Were you?
No. Yeah, I think at this point we might have started taking it seriously. It was more scary than anything else, because we were seeing pictures of drone footage of empty highways overseas and things like that. So it was like quite eerie at this point, I think.
I don't remember that. I remember going to a wedding virtually the weekend before the president locked us down. I went to a wedding in Durban. And I wasn't worried at all.
It's a year since Patient Zero arrived in South Africa.
Correct.
And I remember back to this time, it was patient number one. If the first one was zero, the second one landed in Gauteng, and she was a friend of mine.
Jesus.
And she was put into isolation at Charlotte Matleke and was shoved food under a door, basically. I thought about her and how we knew that it had come, but we didn't think that it would get to the point that it is now.
Should we do anything to symbolize a year in lockdown?
No, just carry on with your life. Try and get back to normal as quickly as possible. I'm not celebrating this at all. I think it was a...
We'll light a candle.
Yeah, you can light it, and you can write a diary entry, Sia, about how you feel about a year of lockdown because it'll be a full year.
Well, it's funny though, thinking about how much we've flip-flopped or how our seriousness around this has changed so much, because I remember one of the first things being at home in Durban for lockdown and taking a walk. Remember when we had that two-hour window? To us it felt like it wasn't even a two-hour, one-hour window.
There was a period before where we couldn't.
It ended at nine.
You couldn't even go out.
You couldn't
even leave your property. Remember, in the beginning, you could not leave your own garden, basically.
Yeah, but then when we had those morning, you can walk around.
Yes, and
we would finish show at eight, and then I'd have an hour before.
You'd have an hour to go and harass that dude who you saw walking on your street, who you would stalk basically every morning. I remember that.
But I remember how I got into a fight with one of the neighbors because they said, "Where is your mask?" So masks weren't even a thing around March, April, you know?
But I do want us to move on to something which I wanted to do on Friday last week, because Leanne is usually very good at these things. And they've renamed all these cities and people are talking about that. And obviously it's a hugely emotive issue because you've got the Eastern Cape, which has run worse than the most unprofitable spaza shop in the whole world, by a government that really couldn't get its head out of its ass if it tried. And they've renamed a bunch of places, including Port Elizabeth. And we don't have to go through those because that's kind of boring. But I did get a Xhosa tongue twister, which I want Leanne to give her best go at. And then we'll see if you can do this as well. Because, you know, we've often done the tongue twisters on this show that – you know, literally, larrily, lorrily, larrily, or any of those very complicated ones about, I think we did the, what was it? Stuck. What was the one I made you do the other day?
Something about
stocking.
Socks.
Sock cutters.
Sock cutters. That was what it was. And Sia didn't actually mess it up, and neither did I. We managed to get it right. We didn't say anything rude the whole way through that tongue twister. But now we've got one with lots of Xhosa in it, and this is obviously a little bit more difficult. So we're going to let Leanne tell us how to do it. Have you got your tongue twister?
Where do I find it?
I think I sent it to you on the WhatsApp group.
Yeah, I think send it on that.
Well, I'll send it again. You've lost it already.
I didn't see it.
Let me send it to you again. All right. This is considered, by the way, it's considered to be the most difficult.
Okay, I've got it. Yes,
you got it. All right, cool. All right. So it's considered to be the most difficult thing in the world for anyone to say, because obviously Xhosa's got all those clicks in it, which makes it very, very hard, unless you've grown up speaking Xhosa. And the person who sent this to me was wondering whether Sia or Leanne could do it, David. And if you speak Zulu or Xhosa, it should be a little bit easier. I've listened to it on YouTube. It contains all the possible clicks and is a wonderful one to hear done properly. All right.
Well, firstly, it doesn't contain all the possible clicks. It contains the Q, which is, and the, in fact, it only contains the Q. It doesn't even contain the X, which is,
No, the X is K.
Which is, it contains the Q, contains the X, but it doesn't contain the C. So it says, ikaka, lizikikatika, kukakaka, lakawuga, ukokoko.
Which means?
Gusho guti, I don't know. I don't speak Zulu. I don't speak Xhosa. I speak Zulu.
So it means this.
Just one more time, Leanne.
Ikaka, lizikikatika. How well did I do?
That was not bad. That was not bad, actually. It means the skunk rolled down the hill and broke its larynx, according to Google Translate, anyway. Sia's laughing about it.
The thing is, I can't comment because I don't speak Xhosa. I may understand it, so I don't know where the rising inflection
intonations
would be. I don't know that. I can read it phonetically, but I might also be mispronouncing it.
That's exactly right. Yeah, the intonation's difficult to get right because I don't know where the inflection should be.
Mm-hmm. It's very, because that cue is the hardest click for me to do. I mean, I always remember, like, I learned to do, like, Becky Tele is the C. That's you do it in the front of the mouth, in the front teeth. So, Tele, Tele, Tele.
It's almost like you're taking pity on someone. So.
Yeah. And then you've got the, which is in the side
it's
of
also how I, it's also how I call my cats, and I have four animals coming into the room.
So you've got that X.
You're Ace Ventura, I'm telling you.
The X is more on the side of the, it's almost like what you do with a horse, right?
Yes.
So that's for Isikasa, for example. And then you've got the Q, which is the toughest one. And I remember I had to learn that pretty quickly because we had Nolin Maholwana Sang on the show with me, and I needed to get that cue right.
It's also the cue can differ whether or not it's next to a G or an NG.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the same as a K. A K can come out like a KH is a K, but a K on its own is a G. So if you have...
Because now we officially have with the Q, we have onle, which is onle. A harder onle,
yes,
which
yes,
is a Q
onle.
And a C.
Okay.
Yes. Onle.
Wow. Okay, well, listen, good luck. I've seen some very funny posts over the last couple of days, and I know that there are people who are going to get upset by this because people get upset by everything. You know, the people who hate the name changes, and then there are the people who think the name changes are, like, holy and sacred and that we shouldn't make fun of them. But one of the funniest ones of all is someone says they were trying to pronounce Port Elizabeth's name, and Siri booked them a flight to – somewhere else, or they were they were clearing their throat, and Siri booked them a flight to PE.
Wow,
something like that. Anyway, Andre wants to know what happens if you have a lisp, because then that could make the clicks quite different. Or if you have a
not really because
what if you have a cleft palate, because like the Q you need your palate for.
I think the consonants that come up with a problem with a lisp is when you have air passing through with the sound that you're making, like s or s, whereas has no air.
Okay. You should have been a language...
Very technical, Leanne Moll.
You should have actually been a language professor. You would have been very good at that stuff.
Well, you know, like I said, I studied linguistics, and then when my mom had her stroke, she had to do occupational therapy, which I actually had no idea was, and speech therapy. Mm-hmm. And it amazed me that speech therapy deals with everything from where you would put a pen in if you were choking. So if you had a tracheotomy.
Uh-huh.
It deals with everything from the lower throat all the way to your lips. And I found it hugely interesting.
Well,
wow. Yeah, definitely, like, my dream job is to do speech therapy.
You've got a hell of an ear for it. And you know, some people just take to languages really well. Snaya says, very well done, Leanne. And Pumlani saying, Leanne, you almost made the furniture in my flat raise, and I am Xhosa. That just shows you. I find like names are really important to get right. Not of places necessarily, but of people. Because if someone mispronounces your name, like if someone calls me Gary or whatever, it just instantly like irritates me a little bit. And I don't
really?
I don't like my name. I mean, I don't like Gareth, but at least since it is my name, pronounce it properly. You know, if someone says Gareth, I'm just like, well, then I'll call you, you know, shithead. Because you're not even going to the trouble of pronouncing my name properly. And if you shorten someone's name without their permission, that's also not great. Like if you call a Christopher and they like to be called Christopher and you call them Chris and they don't want to be called Chris, like it's important to get that
Leanne.
Right. Yeah, so if someone's name is Nosbet Kangeshe, then get it damn well right because it matters
don't just go, Nosi.
Nosi. It's kind of disrespectful because what you're doing is you're saying your name is too much of an effort for me to learn. So I'm just going to call you something easy for me because I'm more important than you. That's kind of where I think it is. And I don't want to get too much into it because I know there are a lot of people who are purists about this and they take it much more seriously than me. And then there are people who think it's completely stupid to even care about these things. And I think those people may be sometimes a bit flippant. So you've got to find your place. I mean, do you... Sia, do you care that people shorten your name to Sia? Because you use Sia.
Yeah, I think the fact that I use Siad isn't much of an issue when other people call me that, as opposed to Siabonga. And as well, I don't have a difficult name if you aren't an isiZulu speaker. You know, there isn't an NHL or a DLA that people would struggle
with. But it is difficult. It's difficult for you to swallow, like Siabonga, because it sounds so different to Siabonga, right? It's like it's an accent thing. So if someone goes, "Hello, Siabonga," it's irritating to you. I'm sure.
I've come to accept it, because even with, you know, there's a Zulu accent, a very strong Zulu / Durban accent, as opposed to what other, you know, like a Sotho speaker would pronounce my name. So what they commonly do in Durban is pronounce it without the I, so it's Sia or Siabonga, as opposed to like a Sotho speaker would be like, oh yeah, Sia or Siabonga. So I'm really not too fazed that much, because really, if I give everyone the whole rundown of all three of my names, then, you know, that would be an issue. But Sia is fine.
And Leanne is like hyphenated, so some people will get by with just Lee. Doesn't that irritate you?
Yeah, it irritates me if it's a formal situation and I've sent an email with my name as Lee again, or when
the internet seems to be putting some hyphens in for you at the moment.
Yeah, I thought that's quite
Hello.
Sorry, you went on the buzz there, on the blink for a second. What happened? Because you went Lee and then went Anne. It was very odd. No, she's definitely having internet problems. Dogoza says she's been called intercourse her whole life.
Oh, Intercozo. 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 Oh, that's so funny.
Zandi says, we used to laugh at people who had a lisp at school because they struggled with phonetics. Yeah.
Same.
I just think, listen, if you make an effort, I think that's all that matters to people. But if you don't even make an effort, if you just say things without even attempting to say someone's name properly, then it can be quite insulting. Snai says the name on the ID is spelled Sinaye, S-I-N-A-Y-E. But you pronounce it as Snaye. I get so irritated with people who call me Sinaye or Sinaya. So, yeah.
So, same thing with that, almost omitting the I and just.
Yeah. And you know, you can, if someone makes a mistake, which is obviously something anyone could do, so someone maybe mispronounces your name and they make a mistake the first time, you can correct them and then they'll try again. But if they just can't get it right after three tries, let it go. You know, then it doesn't really matter.
I did have someone in the States mispronounce my name, and they called me Sire, but that I wasn't angered by.
I'm sure you hated that.
It's I, Sire. Yes.
No. It's very funny. So, look, I mean, some people will continue to use old names for these places because they just don't care, and some people will use the new name, and some people will think it's very rude if everyone doesn't use the new name. It's not that important with places, but with people I think it matters, because that is the name that they go by. That's what they're called, and it matters what you call people. It really does.
There's still some people who refer to the street names as what they're used to. Sure. There's still some people who refer to OR as, what was it before?
Jan Smuts.
That's it.
But why do we still have Jan Smuts Avenue?
Well, because,
if that was the case.
Because they only renamed the airport. They didn't rename the street.
Yeah, but why didn't they, is what I'm saying.
Well, why would they rename the street? There was nothing wrong with Jan Smuts. They just decided to make O.R. Tambo more important at the airport. It wasn't as if they had a problem with Jan Smuts. Jan Smuts wasn't one of the architects of apartheid. And by the way, there are still a whole bunch of Hendrik Verwoerd streets all over the country, and he was an architect of apartheid. So you tell me. Anyway, look, the whole renaming thing is just, it's cosmetic. You know, some people think if you just give something a different name, it changes everything. It doesn't. And I feel like we should be building more and new, and we shouldn't worry so much about changing old. If we have new ones being built and better ones being built, let's give those new names by all means. I don't see the point of a huge renaming campaign when it's just a waste of money and people in the Eastern Cape don't have water, electricity, and housing, and education, frankly. It's a deeply disappointing province, and there's a lot that they could do with the $300 million or whatever they're going to spend on redoing billboards and signs. It's just stupid, and no one can argue with that, even if they have all the best intentions in the world, because that money is going to be spent on something which is purely cosmetic. Lenise says, I had a school teacher that misspelled my name every time she wrote it somewhere. She'd write it as, now Lenise, you spell L-E-N-I-S-E, but this teacher would write L-E-N-I-E-S or L-E-N-E-S-E or whatever. Yeah, you know, you eventually just get the impression like this person doesn't really care about how my name actually goes. And it does.
I sometimes even have family spelling my name wrong, but that's because mine's a little bit of a different spelling. And because there's so many ways to spell my name. Yeah. I've got birthday cards where people have written my name wrong.
But there are at least two ways to spell Lee and at least two ways to spell Anne. And then there are all the combinations of the different Lees or the different Annes. So
yeah.
It Good does point. Get complicated.
And then you have some people who are very particular about how you spell their name, and they just do not let it go at all. I had a teacher in high school who had what he called umlauts on his letter. I say he as if he made it up anyway, but his surname was Moller, and he just despised it. If you spelt it just M-O-L-L-E-R, you had to put the umlauts over the O. And then there's some Andres or Shantays,
yes,
who need that Beyonce thing
the on accent. The accent. Yeah, the accent.
It's the Beyonce thing.
Now, those accents, if you're French, it matters which way the little accent goes.
Mm-hmm.
So if it goes...
Oh, I didn't know
Yeah,
that.
If it goes up on the right, I think that's called an accent aigu. And if it goes up on the left, it's called an accent grave. And they're very different. Mm. They make the whole sound different. So now we're getting into complicated territory.
Well, the one would be like, if it was L-E-V, it would be Lev. But if it was L-E-V-E with an upward one, it would be Leve.
That's right. It's complicated, I'm telling you. I don't even know. I studied this stuff at varsity, and I can't tell you.
Mm-hmm.
There is a Cape Town road called Gert van Rooyen Road. Really? That pedophile was given a road? I don't think they named it after him, but I do know that there's a road there called
Gert van Rooyen Road. Asking for a friend here.
Okay.
Can you sorry, I'm
Go
asking
on. For Go on.
Can you submit to have your name on a road?
You're not asking for a friend. You want C.S. Sangweni Avenue.
I mean,
Gareth Cliff Cove, Gareth Cliff Cul-de-Sac, Leanmol Manor.
No. Didn't we all learn a lesson from Dolly Parton last week when they wanted to put up a statue of her at the Tennessee legislature and she said, no, thank you. Please don't put a statue of me up. Don't name anything after anyone who's alive. It's a very bad idea. Name it after people who've died, who you want to honor. And let's just keep it at that because
There's still time for the ish to hit the fan if you're alive.
Correct. And even when you're dead, there's time for the ish to hit the fan. And we've seen statues coming down. And she actually said, I thought it was the wisest comment being made by any celebrity in ages. She's probably the smartest of all the celebrities in the world right now. Dolly Parton said, look, considering what's going on with statues, I would prefer not to have my statue put up if you don't mind. She says, once I'm dead and gone, you guys do whatever you want. I would be very honored. I love the state of Tennessee. But right now, please, I'd like to remove my name from consideration, which is just so great. God bless you, Dolly Parton. Makes me love you even more.
Yeah. It would be kind of cool to turn left into C.S. Sangweni Street.
Oh, yeah. You'd like that. Just before we,
Come on.
Before we finish off this morning, I want to talk about starting something special and something different on the show, something which Sia and I have been talking about for a long time. And that is the idea of, you know, we often discuss mental health on the show, and we often discuss the impact of the world that we're living in now and what that world is doing to all of us mentally, psychologically, emotionally. And I was talking to someone over the weekend who I think might be a really interesting person to have on the show. If we can do it differently, it wouldn't be like, you know, calling in and unburdening yourself of your psychological problems. But if there's something in particular that you're struggling to deal with, and we often get questions and comments from people who listen to the show, it might be worth putting together something new. And I was thinking about this much like we've put together, you know, the one thing for the week or the burning platform or George Meany coming in to talk about cars or whatever else, to have almost a once a week thing where we could check in with a really interesting, really cool, really forward thinking, futuristic sort of psychologist therapist and talk to them about mental health. Do you think that that would work? Is anyone interested in that, or do you think it's boring?
I'm very interested in it. I've never, through all of the psychologists and psychiatrists I've never met so much of a forward-thinking one.
Yeah.
They seem to rely a lot on theories and you know, practices that have worked in the past. So that would be hugely interesting to me.
Well, I know the right person to do this with. And if you guys are keen, then it might be worth looking at. So if you have any suggestions about whether or not this is something you'd be interested in, just email me or Sia, or you can message us on all the various platforms. But get hold of us through the website and we'll start putting it together. I think it could be quite cool.
Very good.
Yeah. Tell us what are you worried about right now? And what are you interested in discussing?
There we go.
Your relationship, your finances.
That's a good place to start. What are you worried about?
What are you worried about?
Yeah, what keeps you up at night, and what are the things you'd want people to discuss? And let us know on those various means that you can get hold of us on. And that is it for this morning. I'm afraid we're out of time. It's 8 o'clock. CliffCentral.com. We will see you tomorrow morning, bright and early at 6. CliffCentral.com.